This is the Tornado Trackers Podcast. The Tornado Trackers are storm chasers Jeremy Heyman, Jeff Mangum, and me, Gabe Cox.
Hey, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Gabe.
And I'm Jeff.
Welcome to the Tornado Trackers Podcast. It is fabulous to have you with us today. If you've never joined us before, or if you have, let me remind you, this is a storm chasing podcast. This is a severe weather podcast. And most importantly, this is a best friends podcast. We're the three best friends out there. Hashtag three best friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a fun one getting started today. You guys are recording in the same place, which is really fun, at Jeff's house, which is rare for us, I think. And I'm back home in Nebraska. I'm in a utility closet, my sister's utility closet. I'm right next to the hot water heater and the furnace and the soft water dispenser thing. So it's the holidays, you know. This is what the holidays mean to me. So pretty good times happening. There's a Christmas
tree.
Jeremy
sent us a photo of his recording closet. It looks more like a dungeon, actually.
Yes. I'm in the recording dungeon.
Very dark, dingy.
Yeah,
we're gonna make this podcast happen, though.
Yeah,
come hell or high water.
If I was feeling crazy, I could just switch off all the power in the house right now. I could go crazy, open some paint cans, you know.
Turn off the hot water. Yeah. While someone's in the shower.
I just took a screenshot. So this is built into our memories forever.
We're all outside our usual recording spots tonight. So
yeah. I'm in the middle of my bathroom. And my setup is bizarre. I've got my wife's makeup to my right. I've got some wires that connect to my computer and some other things. And I'm balancing my microphone with two Christmas presents for my kids in their boxes, which they don't know about yet. And so far, so good.
Do they listen to the podcast? What'd you get them?
They do not. They have refused to listen so far. And by refused, they don't know about it. So there's that.
That's funny. Are podcasts for old people?
I think they might be. Uh-oh. If you're a young person listening to this podcast, please let us know. Go to our Apple Podcast page and leave us a note of encouragement that we're not just three old dudes talking to other old people.
And so true.
Attach a photo of your birth certificate to prove your age. Well, this is a fun, I'm glad we're recording. It's a good excuse for me to hide in a utility closet for a little bit. I don't know if anybody listening can relate to the holidays.
Introvert problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we
Jeremy's
post
in this happy place?
Can we post a screenshot that I took at some point on Twitter? Because
can we include that in the show notes?
I think so. I think we can.
We'll make that happen.
Because the view, like, I look disturbing. Gabe, you look somewhat normal, but Jeremy, you definitely look like you're hiding in a utility closet.
Definitely. Yeah, lighting's terrible. Yeah, there's going to be gurgles and pops and all sorts of fun stuff happening in here. So
it looks like there would be smells there as well. But
there's like the big drain in the floor that all the water drains out of. So there's all sorts of gnarly stuff happening.
I love it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, fellas, this is a good vibe. I feel like we got a good vibe going, and for our episode,
this is a proper vibe for the episode.
Yeah,
I think.
Yes, 1,000%. Well, fellas, let's dive into tonight's topic. If you listen to our podcast, or if this is your first time, welcome. But if you listen to the podcast, usually we're talking about, you know, some you know, quote unquote successful storm chasing, where we saw something crazy, amazing, beautiful, gut-wrenching. And we shot video of it, and it's up on our website, tornadotrackers.org or youtube.com/tornadotrackers. And, you know, it's epic. And so we want to share that epicness with y'all, because storm chasing is really cool, we think. We get to see some really cool things. But there is a lot of mayhem associated with storm chasing, just the act of storm chasing, and a lot of silliness and messiness, and it's often crazy, disorganized madness along the way. So tonight we want to just have an episode dedicated purely to our bloopers and blunders and busts and everything in between. So we have a lot of these stories for sure, because every chase I feel like has an element of madness. Yes. Involved, some more than others, and yeah, because we're just humans, you know, and trying to do a thing. And so whenever humans are doing a thing, yeah,
things happen
especially when we have Jeff around, things happen. That's for sure.
I don't know, though. Our list has my name on it a lot.
Actually, there's some truth to that.
I think that's just like a sheer numbers thing. Because you
usually it just happens when I'm alone, so nobody knows.
Hide your shame. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where shame should be hidden. but yeah, fellas, when I say all that, when I gave that lengthy and beautiful preamble,
it was beautiful. Thank you for that.
I'm weeping. What are the stories that come to your minds about chasing, like the goofiest goof 'em ups of all time?
Oh boy. There's a lot. I'll say that. I don't know. Where should we start, Jeff?
Well, first of all, is there a category? Are there categories?
I was going to say, what category do you want to start with?
Yeah. Are there
like most embarrassing, least embarrassing things that are on a list to read? Like
slightly terrifying. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there just different types of like mess ups and goofs and busts? While chasing, there's a lot of stuff involved. There's vehicles, there's equipment, there's lodging and sleeping, there's food, like all of these like very human things that we have to account for while chasing. Like all of that can go wrong. Every single bit of that can go wrong, and we can mess it up, and which can make for very long, stressful days. Funny in hindsight.
Well, we could start from the beginning. The first thing we need to do as chasers is get out of the house.
Okay, fine. This is fine. I get it. Let's start with me. That's fine.
Why? What do you mean? Why are you saying that we're starting
okay,
with
okay,
you?
Okay. So what year was this at? Y'all remind me.
This was 2015.
Okay. So Gabe, give a little context to what you were doing and what Jeremy and I were doing in the context of that, and then I'm happy to embarrass myself accordingly.
Excellent. Yes. Context. This was 2015. I was living in Florida at the time, and I had determined that I was going to make a storm chasing documentary featuring my friends, Jeremy and Jeff. And so I flew out to Austin, Texas, and Jeff and Jeremy were there. And so we said, you know, the forecast looks good. Let's go out and chase tomorrow morning. We'll all meet at Jeff's house at something like 5 a.m. And I'm the cameraman, so I'm just going to hang in the background and not involve myself at all. I wanted kind of just this take a step back approach to filmmaking and just let the story happen. So I did not involve myself in any means during this storm chase. I just filmed everything that happened. So I was staying at Jeff's house. And so I'm up at 4:30 getting my stuff ready. 5 o'clock rolls around. Jeff's door hasn't opened yet. Nope. Jeremy shows up. It's not much I can say other than I haven't seen him yet. I'm just going to keep filming and see what happens. Like a good filmmaker would do and not involve himself. So Jeremy's sending texts and I think I have some footage of the clock rolling to like 5:30 or something.
Brutal. Brutal.
And Jeff comes out and had, I don't even know if you had the alarm clock set at that point. I think it was just...
I had the alarm clock set, but I pushed snooze 33 times is what I'm convinced of.
I guess we should just knock on the door. See if anyone's up.
So I came out and immediately when I opened my bedroom door and saw Jeremy, so glad to see you, Jeremy, and Gabe, I did not see you. I saw your camera and it all hit me very quickly. Oh, crap. I'm about an hour late. And so I try to play it off and like, hey, guys, I promise. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to be all good. I'll be ready to go for this amazing storm chase. I closed the door, woke up Christy. There was no reason for me to wake up my wife, but I felt like if I was going to be in a situation of pain and suffering, I should bring about my other half. And she suffered with me, and she was throwing shirts my way to put on and helping me pack my bags because I was unprepared. I would love to say 5 minutes later, but more like 15, 20 minutes later. Is that fair? I walked out and there Gabe was filming and we walked out. Jeremy and I walked out to the car, got in the car. Gabe got in the car. We're ready to go start our big storm chase of the day. I give my preparation game about a C minus at this point. Literally 1 hour after I was like,
definitely want to leave by 4:30.
We back out of the neighborhood and I drive off about 5-10 miles going up I-35. And then it hit me. Oh, man, I forgot my wallet. And these are my best friends. And when you feel like a complete idiot to your best friends, you've done some stuff wrong. So I tell them, hey, guys, I've left my wallet back at the house. Do y'all mind if you push pause and we just act like everything's fine and we'll get some coffee? I'll go back and get my wallet.
That's two strikes on me. Yeah, until I tell you where it was. You won't believe where it was.
On the counter?
Oh, no. No. My wallet was in my back pocket the whole time.
Oh, my.
My bad.
No. We need some coffee.
That was almost, yes. That was almost strike three just in itself.
We get into the car. We're exasperated, or at least they are. Back up into the neighborhood, we take off, we go about 10 or 15 minutes, and it occurs to me, oh man, I have my wife's keys in my pants, and she can't take the kids to school or drive or have a life if I leave with those keys. And so I pull off and say, hey guys, funny story for you.
Okay.
Hey, Christy's keys. Do you have another, is there another set?
I'm about to vomit. I don't even know what to do right now.
Is that the only set?
Yeah. That's my strike three. That's my strike three. What does this all mean? What is the opposite of a double rainbow? Like, what's the little opposite of this? Is that what this is?
And so would you say that y'all's attitudes are two things? You love me because we're the best of friends, but you have a little bit of hatred maybe coming my way temporarily, maybe possibly.
I think at that point, I was so happy with the content I was filming that I didn't care either way.
What I remember about that day, here's the paradox of the day. We start off about 2 hours late. We get up to Wichita Falls, and then we realize, oh man, the storms look to be popping south of us a little bit towards where we left from. So we get in our cars and we drive back south. So we've already driven like 2 hours too far north. And we drive back south and we miss the tornado of the season, it seemed. by about 30 minutes because we overdrove where we needed to go, when really my mistakes would have really helped us get into the best position possible.
Oh my God. Yeah, the documentary would have taken a different turn, I feel like, if maybe, you know, the drama of that moment of you sleeping in and Gabe filming the clock over and over, that like Jeff died in his sleep that night or something like that, like rather than Jeff just sleeping in. I don't know, maybe that
it would have been a better story.
That would have been a short story.
Oh man,
a shorter story.
That was beyond humiliating. It's one thing to be like humiliated in front of people you don't know, or like if a film crew shows up and you don't meet them, but for your best friend to show up and you've been planning this for a long time, and then you're the one that's like an hour, 2 hours late, it's not a good feeling, man. And then for the tornado of the month or the season to drop closer to where you actually were than ever.
I hope this is encouraging. I hope this whole episode is encouraging generally for people who imperfect. We're all imperfect. But especially, you know, for people who like have overslept before, hit their snooze a ton. Like we've all done it. We've all been there. So it's a really, really funny, good story, I think, like in our history, and we love you, Jeff. And oh man, that's just so good. Yeah. That's a good one. Jeff, you are a fountain of just great stories of trying to get out of the house. I mean, I don't know if you have this issue anymore, but just yes. your gear situations.
My gear problems, man.
Would you say you still do? Are you recovering in your gear life?
Yeah, I think this is where like, I feel like there's chasers who are highly organized, which is you two guys. And then there are people like me who are the guys who are looking for a Slurpee at 8:30 p.m. the night before a big storm chase and thinking about nothing except, hey, there might be a great NBA game to watch, or maybe I'm going to watch a movie before I go to bed. That's it. That's what's on my mind. And so the morning of every chase, I wake up astonished every time of how my car is not prepared for the chase. And so I always run into the house probably for about an hour and a half trying to frantically find what in the world I need. And so every single chase lacks 25% of my gear because I'm in a frantic mode. Besides that, it's a very soothing experience. How about you?
I mean, but I think, can we talk about how that never negatively affects the chase?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
A prime example of that was 2019. I had left super early in the morning. And I have the opposite problem where I like to get places too early. And so I'm there at like, I get to the target area at like 10 a.m. and have to wait until 4 for storms to fire. So I get bored out of my mind and I end up taking naps. So I get to the target area. Jeff couldn't leave until later that day on this particular chase.
Where were we headed?
We were going to Southern Oklahoma.
Yes, that's right.
And so Jeff leaves once he gets out of work. So it's already a little later than he wanted to, but he got about probably a solid maybe hour into his chase trip and realized he didn't have his camera. And he called me and he said, I have to go back and get it. Otherwise, what's the point of going on this chase trip? So he did. He turned around, got his camera, and drove up to Oklahoma. Gets there literally. So he's focusing on this a southern storm, and I'm on a northern storm. I see a tornado, and it goes off into this uncharted area where, you know, there are no roads, so I have to watch it from 5 miles away. Jeff goes for the first storm that he can, which is the southern storm, and he gets there just as this gorgeous white tornado drops with a full rainbow in front of the tornado. Yeah. Perfect road network. He can get as close as he wants to it. And that's basically the story of every chase.
Yeah.
It's whether or not he forgets something, It doesn't have any negative effect on his chase trips. He just shows up and the tornado drops. It's like it waits for him every time.
Creates a false sense of security, right?
No,
there.
Dude. I mean, you are an extremely skilled chaser, and like that just goes to show, like, you are a blessed and skilled chaser. You're very, very, very good.
What can you do, man? Some things just are coincidental, and they just work out.
Yeah, I think the chasers listening to this right now would take all of the luck. Every single day, you know, every single day of the week. Luck that's counts. True. Luck still counts.
Luck counts, man.
Unless it's bad luck.
Okay, yeah, touche.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about some bad luck.
Let's talk about bad luck during a hurricane. We need to talk about Zeta. I need to just get that one out of the way.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, this is 2020. This is, you know, during the year of an absolutely insane hurricane season. So Jeff and I have already chased several hurricanes at this point. We're at Zeta. We're in the Greek alphabet. So it's not like this is my first hurricane. Far from it. And the storm surge was just starting to come up to where Jeff and I were. We were on this coastal road, and it was pretty high up. We had enough elevation, and there was a hill right next to us, so we could easily get up when we needed to. So the storm surge, it wasn't coming in super fast. It was kind of a slow rise in the water level. Once it got to about ankle deep, we said, okay, let's get out of here. You know, we have our exit road. It's right by our car. We literally had to drive just 100 feet, and we were up on top of a hill. So not a huge deal. But I wanted to get this one last shot. There was a palm tree that was blowing in the wind that was increasing, and all I had to do was kind of shuffle through this ankle deep water to just get around to this palm tree, which was about maybe 20 feet away. Just wanted the right angle for the shot. So I'm shuffling along, and I walked from the car on this coastal road, and we were parked, and you could see the beach. So in my mind, looking out over the beach that had ankle deep water, now it was the road and then the beach. That's how I've seen every coastal community. It's,
it
looked that way. So I'm walking out onto the beach to go around to this palm tree to get a shot. And I had the strangest sensation all of a sudden that there was no ground beneath me.
Yep.
And before I could even fully comprehend that thought, I realized I was completely underwater. And so Jeff has this wonderful clip of me trudging through ankle deep water, and then I disappear. And what had happened was, for some reason, someone decided that it'd be great to put in a drainage ditch between the road and the beach.
Feels
and
right.
This wasn't like a ditch where the gradual slope. Oh no, this was like they built a cement wall straight down. And so all I knew was that I was walking ankle deep water, and then there was no ground underneath me. I had all like two cameras, one in each hand, and I just went straight under the water, like over my head.
Like the visual is like a scuba diver when they had their big flippers and they decide to jump off the edge of the boat and they decide on purpose, I'm going in. And they go down. That's literally what you look like. Like, on purpose, I'm going in.
Just reflexively, my arms went out. And luckily, my right hand caught the wall as I was sliding down. I actually cut it up pretty well. I scraped my back on the way down because I just went straight down as soon as I took that last step. But reflexively grabbed out and pulled myself up. Like, I bounced out of the water immediately. My lens for my camera was toast. It looked like a fish tank. My other camera was a GoPro. Obviously, that one was fine. They're built for that kind of stuff. But it was so disorienting when it was all happening. For probably maybe 2 or 3 seconds, I thought, this is how I'm going to die.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm getting sucked out. And then as soon as my hand grabbed the edge, I was like, oh no, I just fell off of a wall. Why is there a wall here? There's supposed to be a beach.
You're gone.
I scrambled up and ran back to the car as fast as I could, like it was going to come after me or something. And Jeff is dying laughing in the car holding his camera, and I'm so happy that you got that moment on
I didn't
on
know
camera.
What to do. Like I was taking video. I was like, oh, this is gonna be a great video. And then you fell, and there's like 2 seconds where I look like a really bad friend because I keep filming because I'm like, surely he didn't just go completely submerged into the ocean. And when it hit me, I think I threw my camera down and I started running to you and you came out. So I felt like I'm kind of a good friend, maybe like a like a JV version of a friend, but not a varsity level. But I remember that happening and I did not understand what was happening in front of my eyes. But you went from
that makes two of us
6 feet tall to 0 feet tall real fast, bro.
Yeah, I was. But I didn't know if that was on purpose or not. Whoa.
I've been pretty quiet, but I've just been watching. Gabe made a GIF of this. I've just been watching the GIF for the last like 5 minutes over and over and over.
Yeah, we'll put that one in the show notes. We're going to link to the GIF. Yeah. You guys can enjoy that moment on repeat for eternity.
Oh, gosh,
I'm still watching
so
it.
I'm so glad.
I need to scroll over and watch it.
It doesn't get old, man.
It's like... Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, it's funny because I know you lived, but like, this is like a genuinely terrifying thing that happened, but it's still very funny and I feel really bad about it.
I'm watching it right now. Oh, man. It was such a strange feeling to just not have ground underneath you all of a sudden. I will say, I got a shout out here to the GH5, the Lumix GH5.
Oh, yeah.
That was the camera that I had when I went fully submerged into the Gulf of Mexico. That camera, the lens was toast immediately. It filled up with water. But I switched out the lens and didn't. I had very low expectations. Like, I just completely submerged a DSLR into the ocean. That thing ran for the entire hurricane. Not only that, the following spring, this year, 2021, I filmed 2 tornado outbreaks with it before finally, at long last, the salt that got into the system finally did its thing. But I got to say, I bought that camera because it had a weatherproofing body on it, but I definitely put it to the test during Zeta and in the splashdown. And I got to vouch for it. I mean, just obviously don't dip it into the ocean, but the thing's got a solid body to it.
Yeah, Panasonic, are you listening? Please sponsor us, Panasonic.
Are you listening? Are you listening? Because what better advertisement is it that you dropped into a hurricane and still film for another year? Let's go. Let's go.
I don't know that clumsiness is the kind of partnerships they're looking for.
Well.
No, man. That was skill.
That's actually that's fair.
Well, chasing hurricanes, speaking of which, are pretty holistic affairs, right? Like, you're completely in this environment that is being turned upside down, and they make for a really a lot of wild stories, a lot of wild chasing, as y'all experience in Zeta. What are some other hurricane chasing stories of kind of y'all's maybe feeling silly or having some bloops?
Yeah, we had one East Coast hurricane chase. Jeff and I haven't done a lot of East Coast hurricane chases. Actually, I think we've only done two. This will be 50% of our East Coast hurricane chases have been, for lack of a better word, terrible. This hurricane was, it was approaching Florida and then it was supposed to kind of ride up the coast, but nobody knew exactly where it was going to make landfall. It was going to be just offshore. So Jeff and I decided, hey, let's go. We're going to intercept this thing because it's going to make landfall at some point. So we drive all the way to Florida and we hang out in Jacksonville Beach. A good friend of mine let us stay. He had a church building right on the beach and he gave us the key and said, good luck. Let us stay there.
Literally on the beach. Perfect.
Literally on the beach. You could see the ocean. But it became clear the following day that this hurricane was going to not make landfall in Florida and continue north. So Jeff and I packed all our stuff back up and started driving north. We ended up in, Savannah was our first stop, our second stop. So we drive to Savannah and we're up all night because at this point it looks like it's going to make landfall in Savannah at night and there's going to be a big storm surge event. You know, driving from Texas to Florida and then from Florida up to Savannah, we were exhausted. And then on top of that, staying up all night because we thought it was going to be this big storm surge event. And there was this moment, we're in a parking garage. We had set up in a parking garage just in case that storm surge came in quickly and we need a high elevation. And so we were hanging out in the parking garage waiting for the storm surge event. And it's the middle of the night. I was extremely exhausted. And all of a sudden I start feeling nauseous. And I didn't realize that at the time, but I was so exhausted from this chase trip that my body was basically shutting down. And I told Jeff,
day five. We're like on day five since we left Austin because we had gone, driven a day or two, stayed one or two nights. Now we're on day five. We're exhausted.
So we're just getting to the point in this hurricane where it's closest approach to Savannah. And things are starting to happen. There are power flashes outside. The wind's sweeping through the parking garage. We're waiting like the storm surge event is imminent. And all of a sudden, I'm on my hands and knees vomiting in the parking garage. And Jeff is just like, oh, gosh. And I was thinking like, oh, no, I'm going to ruin this chase for Jeff. Because I was thinking, you know, are we going to have to go to an emergency room? What is happening to me? I don't want to get dehydrated during this storm. Like everything shut down anyway. And I'm just like, had no idea what was going on. Jeff scrambles around to his car and like literally throws everything out of the back seat. And is like, here, just come lay down. And I curled up in the fetal position in the back of his car and instantly passed out. I have no idea how long I was asleep for, but you know, this is the middle of a hurricane that's just brushing the coastline, and I just completely passed out.
Well, it's 5 a.m. on the 5th, and I had one of those unexpected situations pop up that always throws a curveball. About 2 hours ago, started feeling a bit nauseous, and sure enough, I got sick to my stomach here in the parking garage and had to pass out for about an hour. Just had to take it easy. I think it was a combination of exhaustion from several days worth of tracking the storm and dehydration. But now the eye's getting close. I'm feeling a little bit better, a little bit weak, but got to push through. Keep documenting this thing because it's almost right on top of us. Don't really have time not to be feeling well.
When I came to, apparently I had been asleep for, you know, maybe an hour or two, but Jeff had been running around the parking garage getting shots, and apparently he had his own little mishap during this time where I was passed out in the back of his car and this hurricane is brushing the coast of Savannah.
I certainly did, my friend. And so here, the context of what's happening is, even though the storm surge event did not happen, we're still getting 80, 90, up to 100 mile per hour gusts up in Savannah, Georgia. So power flashes are going off everywhere across the city, right on the coast. Very significant wind event happening. So I'm thinking, okay, so now that Gabe is down, and I remember trying to shake him, and that dude was not moving. Like, he's already puked up, and I'm like, I don't want to make him up. Let's just let him rest. I was like, I'm going to go get shots for the both of us. It's like double time. Let me get shots for him and for me. So I go down the stairwell. We're on, like, the fourth or fifth story of the parking garage, and I am amped. I'm like, I got this. I got this figured out. I have my ambitions of what shots I'm going to take. It's pouring down rain because hurricanes do that, if you're not aware of that. And so I get down to the ground level, walk out, and everything's just, you know, 2 or 3 inches of just pure rain and water. And I start running because I don't want to get soaked. I'm trying to run to the next covering. And I hit a slick spot, which is pretty much anywhere. And I fall back and I hit my butt so hard on the ground. And I remember I laid back. It was almost like a movie where you land on your rear end and your back and you don't move. And you always wonder, like, why are people laying back? Why don't they get up? why don't they start walking? It's because they're hurt and they are paralyzed. And so my body was in such shock. I've come to find out 3 weeks later that I had a cracked tailbone, and there's nothing a doctor can do for a cracked tailbone, because what can you do except like put a bandage around your rear end? There's nothing they can do. But I'm telling you, my whole, from my rear end to my toes, were in such pain. But I got up and I started taking a bunch of shots of like some power flashes. And I remember as the wind and the rain was hitting me, there were a couple of times verbally, I would say, I hope this is worth it. I hope this is worth it. Gabe, I hope you're proud. And so I finally get back to the parking garage, and I wanted to check on him, but I just had to lay on my side. I was in such pain. So we were a broken mess, bro.
Yeah. So by the time I woke up, I'm dehydrated and just totally zapped. Jeff is limping through the parking garage. I'm kind of just like on hands and knees.
So pathetic.
No energy. But the storm was moving north, and we decided like we got to keep chasing this thing because we got to get it at landfall. So we crashed for a few hours in the car. But that few hours of sleeping put us out of play for the following morning, where just across the state line to our north, there was a major tornado outbreak associated with the hurricane's outer bands. We missed that because we were busted and healing for a few hours.
Oh my gosh.
And then we kept driving north, almost to North Carolina, and realized the hurricane, if it wasn't going to make landfall, it might brush the outer banks, but it looked like it wasn't even going to really do that. It ended up just barely hitting the outer banks, but by the time we reached the North Carolina border, we were in a hot mess.
We're a mess.
And we knew we had to drive home at that point.
All right, I'm not even sure what time it is. It's sometime in the evening. I think it's after 5. We are in the outer eye wall. So not the most intense part of the eye wall, but things are getting pretty crazy around here. And after days and days of tracking this storm and trying to get in a position, we finally made it as close as we think we can. It's been a journey to get here, and we're making the best of what was one of the harder tropical systems that our team has ever chased.
We were a mess driving back. I remember even getting a hotel. We're like, how are we still alive? You know, and it had nothing to do with the storm.
I do remember what kept us going though on the drive up, just to keep us awake. There was a local station that we were listening to on the radio, and they had this great, really dramatic hurricane theme song for their show, for their coverage. But, you know, most stations, they'll play like, you know, 10 seconds of their theme song and go into the coverage. This station felt obligated to play like a full 1 to 2 minutes of their theme song before going into coverage, which was just a loop of this really dramatic music with a, you know, had this really sick drum beat to it. And so for the 1 to 2 minutes, every time this coverage would come on, Jeff and I decided that we needed to come up with a rap.
Freestyle.
And that's what kept us awake driving up to North Carolina, was freestyling to this music every time it came on, rapping about Jeff landing on his butt and me throwing up in the parking garage.
I mean, come on. Oh. I know you're listening to this and you're like, oh, they're about to break out of freestyle. We're not. No, we're not going to do that. So no, that's actually a no.
We have to be on the road for 6 days and not sleep before we do that.
I remember that, man. It was one of those moments where we got back home and people were like, how was the trip? And I didn't know the verbiage for worst trip ever, but most memorable trip ever at the same time. So,
yeah.
Hey, man, we came close, but you got to chase. Lots you got to chase. If it comes you know close, you got to chase, man.
You know what happened the other day, actually? I sold a clip from that hurricane.
No,
I made
didn't.
One sale.
Come on. All worth it.
It almost redeemed the trip.
That's amazing. I've been silent again because I've been just watching the GIF from Hurricane Zeta over and over again.
I've learned, by the way, I should probably have videoed a little bit of Gabe either puking or being sick I've learned that like a good documentary, like that should be what I'm doing, but I feel guilty about that.
No, next time I wouldn't have held it against you.
Thank you.
I was next actually time mad. I was mad that you did not.
Okay, fair enough. Good. I duly noted.
We need all the moments.
Duly noted.
Gabe, you mentioned in that chase, you know, having some issues with your, you know, digestive tract, you know, your stomach. There's a day that, you know, sticks with me in terms of stories because of just kind of how, like, almost like a comedy of errors sort of like you had in your experience chasing a high risk day in the southeastern part of the country, which is pretty rare for this part of like North Florida, Southern Georgia.
Yeah.
Walk us through that because it's a doozy.
Yeah. So this was 2017. So this was the same year as Canton, Texas. If you haven't heard that episode, you need to listen to that one. So this was several months before Canton, Texas, but this was the year that I was determined to make storm chasing a career, and I needed to have some successes in order to do that. So January 22nd, 2017, was a big day for me. But we got to backtrack one more day there to January 21st. There was a significant threat for tornadoes also in the southeast that night. And I decided that I was going to chase that. So I left my home in Jacksonville, Florida. I was living there at the time and drove all the way to Alabama to chase this significant tornado threat. And I was chasing deep into the night. I was chasing solo. And I got onto a tornado-worn storm. It was a high precipitation storm. Couldn't see a whole lot. Just lots of lightning in the middle of the night driving through these towns with their tornado sirens wailing. And I don't know that anything actually touched down on the storm that I was on. I do remember thinking like, oh man, like this night didn't evolve the way that it was forecast to. It seemed to come in below the forecast expectations. And so I kind of felt defeated. I didn't get anything that night and I didn't shoot anything. It felt like a bust for me. But I decided, you know, okay, I'm going to pull over in the next town and I'm going to get some sleep and I'm going to chase tomorrow because tomorrow looks like it could potentially be a big day and closer to home. Actually, it looked like the risk was going to be over North Florida, including Jacksonville, which was where I was living. So I pull over in this town to get some sleep and kind of snuggling into the front seat of the car. And all of a sudden, a little rumble in my tummy.
Rumble in the jungle.
It wasn't long before I felt completely sick to my stomach. So what was happening that night was it was kind of these series of storms that were moving through the area. And just about the time that I felt like I probably need to get out of my car and be prepared to toss my cookies, get on my hands and knees, and the next storm rolls in and I'm on my hands and knees in this parking lot an abandoned restaurant in the middle of the night, and it's pouring down rain. There's thunder and lightning. And
oh my gosh, that's awful.
It was one of the most violently ill that I've ever been by myself, far from home. I was 8 hours from home and feeling like I was going to die. And this
I just got the visual of like Shawshank Redemption, like when he comes out of like the sewer, but except he's excited, but the opposite where you're on all fours in the rain puking. Is that correct?
That's absolutely the visual. And this went on all night long.
Oh my God.
It was awful. I don't think I've ever been that sick to my stomach before. Come to find out, I had gotten some sort of stomach bug. I thought it was food poisoning at the time because of how sick I was. But yeah, just anyone who's been in that situation, which I think is pretty much everyone, knows that in the moment you just feel like you're dying. No one can convince you otherwise. So I thought, oh, cool. Like I'm by myself in backwoods Alabama, 8 hours from home in the middle of the night. I'm going to like keel over in this parking lot and die of dehydration. But I'd managed to climb it back into the car and I thought like in between episodes, I was like, oh, well, I got to close the distance between me, where I am and home. So I'm going to drive as much as I can until the next time I have to get out of the car. And that's exactly what I did. I think I maybe got 20 minutes down and pull into this parking lot in farther backwoods Alabama. So now I'm literally in the middle of nowhere, no lights or anything, and just on my hands and knees screaming every time that I vomit, and just wondering like, how the heck am I going to make it home? I feel like I'm about to just like pass out, which I did. I got back in the car and I passed out for several hours, I think.
Proper questions are in that moment are, why am I alive?
Yes.
God, why would you allow me this to happen to me? Will this ever end? Things like that. These are questions you are probably asking.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
I think any of us who have been like in our home, in our bathroom experiencing this have asked those questions, but you are like far away from your comfort zone.
Yes. I felt like I had been taken out to the woods to die.
Well, it was interesting. Like when you're a part of a team, like us three, and we care for each other so much, we're such close friends, we're texting each other pretty consistently when this is happening, to the best that we can. Like, we weren't expecting Gabe to like give us updates on his puke ratio, but but like there is a sense when something's happening of like, man, I'm trying to chase this high risk storm chance for myself, but also for my friends. And so there's a lot of weird kind of displace pressure that comes from yourself and others. And it's like when you get sick, that's a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I didn't know there wasn't a high risk at this point. That hadn't been issued yet. So I pass out in the car and I wake up just as the sky's starting to lighten up a little bit. The rain's gone. So it feels like a fresh new day, but I still feel like death. And I wake up and drive as far as I can to find a gas station, because I knew, I was like, I need to get liquids in me or it's going to get real bad real quick. So I bought some Powerade at a store. And I want to apologize if anyone listening is eating right now. Sorry. we're filling this episode with a lot of graphic detail. So I get some Powerade and I'm just nursing it. I'm just sipping it. Baby sips. Like I might get like a 30-second of the bottle down and just be like, okay, I got to stop. But so what happened was, after I get the power to get in the car and I look, just out of curiosity, because, you know, even when a storm chaser is sick, a storm chaser is a storm chaser. So I wanted to know what the forecast was that day. And I open up my phone and lo and behold, there is an extremely rare high risk issued from the Storm Prediction Center. High risks are they're the highest level of risk that can be issued by the Storm Prediction Center. And it was a high risk for tornadoes. Wow. And this also, not only was it a rare event, because this might happen once a year. Sometimes it doesn't even happen in a year. We didn't have a high risk at all this year. So not only is a high risk rare, but this was issued for North Florida, including Jacksonville, my home, where my wife and kids are. And it's the first time that has ever happened in the state's history. And so that gave me a huge boost of adrenaline, which was enough to get me to think through, okay, what's my game plan here? Well, I need to get home anyway. And, you know, I'm 8 hours from home. This high risk is happening over that entire journey. And so I'm going to strategically drive home and intercept whatever might come during my commute home. So there's a highway that goes from east to west. It's I-10, and it goes the whole distance of North Florida all the way into Jacksonville. And so according to the models, supercells were going to be going very quickly over I-10. And there were going to be groups of them going over I-10. And so I thought, oh, this is perfect. I need to drive home anyway to get to bed and rest. I'm going to drive on I-10 and I'm going to strategically intercept these supercells as they go one by one, as they go over I-10. And I'm probably going to see like 10 tornadoes. It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Well, it became clear once I got, you know, into hour 7 of my commute home, again, feeling just absolutely awful. I looked awful too. I'd pull over to convenience stores to use the bathroom, which was a victory at that point. I was like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. I'm hydrating. And people would be staring at me like, who is this guy? He looks awful. But it became clear by hour seven as these storms just did not organize that the high risk was going to be a bust. And it was an absolute bust. The atmospheric ingredients were off the charts in most of the parameters. There was just one thing that was off, and it kept the whole day from happening. And I made it to Jacksonville. And my wife actually was talking about it the other day. She's like, oh, I remember that day. You look like you were going to fall over walking through the door. And I literally slept for 24 hours after. I walked straight into the bedroom. I didn't say a word. I collapsed onto the bed and I slept for an entire day. And not only was that my first high risk bust, but it was probably the worst chase trip I've ever had. It beat out that East Coast hurricane for sure. Yeah. Just a nightmare of a chase trip. Not only was it a bust, I just felt terrible. And yeah,
when your Dang. Stomach is a mess for 24 hours, let's just gotta call it in, man.
True,
like,
nightmare.
My question is, like, what would have happened if it wasn't a bust? What would have happened if you were sick to this degree and tornadoes were dropping down left and right? That would have been a worse situation, because how could you have withheld yourself, man?
Dude. Oh man, I had a solid game plan.
So much.
I had a good game plan. I was going to keep my distance. I knew I wasn't as sharp as I normally am in a chase trip, but I was going to just catch them going over I-10 one by one.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
It didn't happen.
Oof. Gosh,
the body is broken, y'all.
So that was the beginning of the year of Gabe learning some lessons, because again, to go back to 2017 being the year I tried to make a career happen, that was chapter one of me learning to let it go. Canton, Texas was kind of the final chapter on that narrative. It's actually in hindsight, it happened pretty quickly from January to May or April. Yep. I guess was Canton.
Yep. Yeah. It was a big year.
Yeah,
if
got some lessons packed in there. It was great.
If that 6 months would have been like the sequel to Twister, it would have been like a very strange and dark sequel to Twister.
Just yes, it'd be a sequel that everyone's like, I hate sequels.
The antithesis of the first movie.
Yeah, what were they going for with this sequel? This man was vomiting,
real life.
Vomiting in a parking lot, and yeah, then the tornadoes didn't happen. And then he almost died. What? Yeah.
Then he's going
for real life, Bob.
Very dark. It'd be like a, yeah. Oh my God. It's like a, I don't know what, what director, would have made that specific sequel, but
Terrence Malick. It's a Terrence Malick film.
It would have looked beautiful, but yeah, been very depressing.
It would have looked amazing, but very depressing.
Too, it has to be.
It's super poetic.
Yeah, yeah, very authentic to life.
To the point where people don't understand the point of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Terrence Malick's Twister 2. Yeah. Colon, vomiting in a parking lot. Oh, God.
Or How I Learned to Give Up on Making a Career.
Yeah, yeah, happen. Yeah. I learned to give up expectations. Yeah. Oh man.
This got dark and I love it.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, fellas, this was great. I'd say we do a bloopers episode.
We only scratched the surface, yeah, by the way, man. For everyone listening. They're like, oh, that's not so bad. Oh, we've got a long list.
There's a warehouse full of them, and they'll continue happening because we're humans doing a crazy thing, you know, with a lot of moving parts and bodies that do crazy, wacky things with moving parts. oh, boy. Well, this is great, fellas. And if you're listening to this right now, expect one of these, you know, each season moving forward of this podcast, because we think that will be a fun kind of variety mixture thrown into the pot, the podcasting stew, if you will. So thank you so much for joining us, and thanks, fellas, for your stories. I love you guys, and just, oh man, it's just a great reminder that, you know, I'm thankful for you guys that we can do this together, and laugh about these things together, because, you know, if we were doing it all alone, these would be like not comedy, they would be tragedy. I feel like they would be sad, sad stories. So having a crew to laugh about these things makes a huge difference. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Tornado Trackers podcast. It would mean a ton to us if you would subscribe or follow us on your podcasting app that you're listening to this on. Check us out on the web, tornadotrackers.org. Follow us on social media at Tornado Trackers everywhere. YouTube.com/tornadotrackers is pretty much the full library of every single storm chase that we have footage of. And that's about it for us from the Tornado Trackers fellas. I'm Jeremy Heyman, and I've been joined by Gabe Cox and Jeff Mangum. We will see you in a couple weeks. Later.